Pawtucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Hour number three underway. 251-343-0106. You want to hit us up on that text line or give us a call either way, but text line works really, really well. Still to come on the program, Marshall Yates, he's Mo Brooks, Carson Mo Brooks' chief of staff, will be calling in here in about a half hour. You won't stick around for that. I'll give you more details on that coming up in the next segment, so stay tuned. But joining us now, very pleased to bring on my next guest. Every time I introduce him, I always like to remind people that he was my state legislator when I lived in Destin, Florida. But Congressman Matt Gaetz on the line here. Congressman, how are you?
Oh, I'm great. It still remains a great source of concern for Florida that we lost you to Alabama. But perhaps our friends in the Yellowhammer State need a good dose of Florida man now and again.
Well, my wife and I, she practices law in Tallahassee, so I split my time between the two. So it's kind of a joint arrangement
now. You're dipped in Florida man sufficiently. Well, I can tell you, if you're on the road between Tallahassee and Mobile and other parts of the American Southeast, you got to hate elements of this infrastructure bill that Joe Biden and some moderate Republicans are pushing, because it seems to me to be a real attack on rural America. I mean, when they talk in this infrastructure bill about a per mile charge on our fellow Americans, that ought to concern us greatly, especially because we see how much the administrative agencies of government try to seize power over our lives. I mean, who in the world would have ever thought that we'd have the CDC making rent policy, and now you're going to have the Department of Transportation potentially empowered to charge people based on the mile with an additional monitoring from the government? And it really is perhaps a good deal if you're an Acela corridor liberal, but if you live out in real America, this infrastructure bill is a nightmare.
Yeah, infrastructure bill, and what's odd to me about it is that there does seem to be, quote-unquote, they want to say it's bipartisan support, but they tend to be the Republicans that a lot of Republicans really just kind of they shake their head at and wonder, why are you – we know how these guys operate, and putting a lot of stock into what they're telling us and the way they will turn on you in the media. It just seems like a risky proposition, and there's always reason to be skeptical.
Well, and they've got new lingo for it. The Republicans who have joined with the Bidenites for this bill call it a middle-out bill. Middle-out. And that just sounds so nice, right? But the reality is it's the establishment down. That's what you're really talking about. Republican senators are easily bought with pork barrel spending. That has always been the case. That is a way the Senate works. They've basically designed a system where, but for a few brave souls that we occasionally get over there, no one is really responsible for the spending. You're always able to blame someone else, blame the administration, blame the House, blame the reconciliation process, but no one actually has to wear the fact that we are diminishing our country with this out-of-control spending. And, if, printing money made you a stronger country, then Zimbabwe would be a world power. But it doesn't, and they're not. And it would be great if more of our leaders understood the long-term damage that they were doing to the country by teaming up for bad bills like this.
And it's bad in this sense. It's more than just a bill that is, whatever you want to call it, if you want to call it infrastructure. But they're playing these Orwellian games with us, where they're changing the definition of the term infrastructure, that we're going to incorporate human infrastructure, and just a way to get something that probably polls really well, because people tend to be for infrastructure, and put in a bunch of social spending, and that is now going to be it's being abused, I would say, to get whatever Democrat hobby horse issue they want to get through done.
Well, I actually think, as a younger person, as a millennial, that we can have a broader definition of infrastructure that includes things like broadband, that includes access to the digital world for rural America. But when they're talking about child care as infrastructure, when they're talking about funding the community organizer groups that grew out of ACORN as infrastructure, it shows that this is really just political patronage spending. And so long as they get a sufficient amount of that patronage over to some Republican senators, they'll be able to get the votes necessary, you know, to move this. Now, the question, and we were talking about it off air earlier, the question is, what will Nancy Pelosi do? Because she has a progressive wing of the Democratic Party that drives the energy. They drive the money. They are the big personalities. And she has to keep the likes of, you know, the AOC, Ilhan Omar crowd happy. And it seems as though she's wanting even more spending for even more non-infrastructure related things in the infrastructure bill.
Yeah, and that's an interesting point about Nancy Pelosi. Well, what do you think is going on there? Now, look, before the 2020 cycle had wrapped up and we were kind of in that interim stage there, there's a lot of speculation that Pelosi couldn't hang on, that maybe you would see some shakeup in the leadership on the Democrat side. I know you're not a part of that crowd over there. But you got to like Nancy Pelosi if you're looking at the betting odds here. She does have she's had a pretty good run, let's say.
Without question, you know, Nancy Pelosi knows how to manage her conference. I mean, you know, when all is said and done, what will be left in the world is probably the tight grip that Nancy Pelosi has on her fellow Democrats. The question is whether or not they're going to be able to thread the needle of the Pelosi wing of the Democratic Party and Schumer wing, and then, you know, the ability to hold on the likes of Rob Portman and Lindsey Graham. And if they do that, I tell you, it will be a legislative feat. Right now, we just got off a call just from the whip's office that Nancy Pelosi could even be calling us back sooner than expected to Washington to start casting votes on some of these matters. So it's evolving very rapidly. But I cannot, while I disagree with Nancy Pelosi strongly, I cannot do anything but marvel at her legislative skills, because she is a very skilled legislator.
Joined by Congressman Matt Gaetz, Florida's 1st Congressional District, just to our east of our listening area. We do get into Pensacola, so now we got a few listeners over there. Congressman, I want to move on Florida handling of COVID-19. Your friend Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, taking some criticism there, probably a lot of it, I think, undue. But Florida, to me, still remains a place that you want to look at the way the pandemic was handled. That ought to be a textbook, that you were able to minimize the economic damage and not intrude on people's individual freedoms and liberties as much. But yet now we're going the you could see everything in the works right now that we're going to try to make him a villain, at least the mainstream media are.
Well, we can break down the policy choices the different governors made, and I suspect we will for some time. But at the end of the day, people vote with their feet, right? And when you get outside of, you know, some elements of the Washington, D.C. and New York, D.C.-based media, most people wish they were in Florida. People in Florida don't wish they were somewhere else. It's people everywhere else that wish that they had the freedoms and the liberties and the personal agency to be able to live their lives that Floridians have. I mean, I had a Florida man tour across the state, and folks came out and had barbecue and spent time with one another, and we need that as human beings. The people like, you know, Phil Murphy, for example, in New Jersey, had some of the most stringent lockdowns, and yet they've got some of the highest per capita death rates. In Florida, the policy choice that I think is going to withstand the test of time is the seniors first strategy, whether it was the front-loaded protection for the nursing homes, where we actually had the National Guard involved in testing people in and out of nursing homes and assisted living facilities and senior communities to make sure we did not have massive spread, to the enhanced capacity that we developed so that COVID is more survivable here than it is in other places, just as a result of the medical response we've been able to marshal. I think there's a lot of good in what Florida's done. And look, I mean, there's politics in all this, Jeff. I mean, this is a political show, right? I mean, do you think that Ron DeSantis would be getting, you know, this much heat from the media if he weren't sort of an obvious national figure for the Republicans in 2024? Maybe as a running mate with Trump, maybe, you know, if Trump decides to do something else, I think it's pretty clear that DeSantis has endeared himself to MAGA, America First base, as well as even other wings of the Republican Party. So I think it's about politics more than policy, and I think we can defend those policy choices pretty effectively.
Congressman, looking forward to the politics of it. 2022, I don't see how it's not going to be a good cycle for Republicans. And sometimes, I'm guilty of this a lot of times. You get caught in the media bubble, and you got to kind of step away from it because things aren't as bad as they seem. But even with the Delta variant and all of the hysteria surrounding that. You know, no matter however the left tries to weaponize it or whatever they try to do with it, you still feel optimistic about this upcoming election cycle?
Look, we have to be worthy of victory. And if we are, we will win. Every historical indicator suggests that. The redistricting process suggests that. Just where people have moved in the country, what states are gaining and losing seats suggests that. But we have to decide what kind of Republican Party we want to be in. In the Beltway of Washington, make no mistake about this, Jeff, there is an establishment trying to reconstitute the Republican Party in the image of Liz Cheney and Mitt Romney and Adam Kinzinger and Ben Sasse. And I have the opposite view. I think we need to keep that populist energy. I don't think we need to find new countries to invade or new illegal immigrants to incentivize across our border. I think that Trump had the right perspective. And it's one of the reasons why I launched a new podcast, to try to animate those values and to try to show people who care about the America First agenda what's going on in Washington. And I hope folks subscribe. It's called Firebrand. Get it on any podcast platform. Also, Rumble and YouTube. And, man, am I loving Rumble. That is like my new favorite social media app now, place for real free speech and definitely a growing audience.
Yeah, and you have this podcast. Have you had any run-ins with any tech issues because they steer an algorithm away from conservatives or what they call it, shadow banning or anything like that? Have you run into any problems?
Well, Vice News is not a conservative outlet, but they did an investigative report showing that Twitter shadow banned four and only four members of Congress: Mark Meadows, Jim Jordan, Matt Gaetz, and Devin Nunes. Twitter then said that was a glitch in their system, which would be one heck of a glitch during the midst of the Russia hoax to shadow ban like the four people that were really defending the president effectively. So, you know, I think that we will always face that uphill battle. But I'm also encouraged by new platforms, whether it's a platform like Rumble or a platform like Getter, or Telegram. There are different places now for us to be able to share our message. I actually think we should probably break up big tech so that, Google doesn't control YouTube, so Facebook doesn't control Instagram. But in the meantime, we cannot decamp from the debate. We have to go win the argument with the American people, and then we have to make sure that we have, elections that reflect the will of the American people. And if we do that, we will be back in some semblance of power in 2022 and 2024.
Congressman, we're up against a break. Before we let you go, folks want to one more time check out Firebrand, your podcast, or find you on social media. Tell them where to look.
At Rep Matt Gaetz on Twitter. And, definitely you can use any podcast listening platform to search for Firebrand, and we hope you join the conversation. I think that these discussions we're having now, they define the party, Jeff, and it's going to be an exciting time for us in the future.
Congressman, we appreciate your time this morning. Hopefully we can get you on again real soon.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks.
Thank you. Congressman Matt Gaetz of Florida's 1st Congressional District. We got to get another break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5.
Just to send it on down the line. Hello, West Virginia coal miner. Let me thank you for your